Hello and welcome to the Bitter End Podcast, where we are pushed for time.
Oh my goodness, guys, there is no time. We are going to have to slam right into this bad boy for you.
Shut
right
the
now.
Fuck up, Todd Jordan. My name is Tom Denny. He's Todd Jordan.
That's correct.
And we are here to talk about a special bonus thing. We just did the Police Academy thing. Yeah, that was pretty cool, but we're not fucking done.
We're not done because Steve Guttenberg is not done. That's correct. Steve Guttenberg teamed up with the Sci-Fi Channel in the year 2015 to make a movie called Lavalantula.
And you know who's in it? Fucking Michael Winslow. Hooks is in it. Callahan's in it. Yes, it is the Police Academy reunion that we didn't know that we wanted, but fuck you, you're getting it.
Inexplicably involving fire-breathing spiders. Tom, can we slow down a little bit? This is exhausting.
Okay, yeah. The reason that we're talking quite fast is that we're going to try and do like a one-episode podcast where we watch and talk about an entire franchise.
Does two movies count as a franchise?
In today's, in today's like crazy mixed up Hollywood, I think some people do consider that a franchise. But we're going to watch both these films. We're going to talk about them now because we need to like... The little addendum on the Police Academy franchise.
Oh, yes, because there is not just one Sci-Fi Channel-produced fire-breathing spider movie starring Steve Guttenberg, Michael Winslow, Marion Ramsey, and the lady that played Callahan. There's two, because they followed up 2015's Lavalantula with Two Lava, Two Lantula.
See what they did there.
And we're going to watch them both for you today in one sitting. And then we're going to come back after having seen the first one and give ourselves only 20 minutes to run you through it. Breakneck speed compared to the normal hour that we have.
Yeah.
Then we're going to go immediately away and watch the second one and give ourselves 20 minutes to talk about that.
Yep. So, but other than that, business as usual. We've watched the trailer and I have to say it looks dumb as balls.
Yes, the trailer for Lavalantula 1. It's got a very puffy looking Steve Guttenberg driving through traffic playing an ex-action movie star. They make a big deal about the fact that this is from the studio that brought you Sharknado. I did not see Sharknado.
Neither did I.
Give a fuck.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I've actually seen a bit of Lavalantula before. I don't know why. Like, I don't really watch those like Sci-Fi Channel stupid premise monster movies are made purposefully to be kind of bad. I'm not really into that. I prefer to watch a bad movie that was trying to be good than watching a bad movie that whole purpose is to be bad.
And they're really leaning on that heavy in here. There's a line spoken in the film where someone like sees all the Lavalantulas coming down the road and they goes, this is gonna get real bad real fast. But they've obviously included that in the trailer with like a nudge and a wink to make you think about the movie being terrible. And they're like, the only thing standing between us and total annihilation is the cast of Police Academy. And then it cuts to Michael Winslow like making machine gun noises and looking like a total douchebag.
I'm really glad that he's come up with some new material between Mission to Moscow and this.
So anyway, we better fucking jump on this spider's back and dive in.
But before we do, Todd Jordan, IMDb game, quick fire round. What do you think the IMDb score of Lavalantula from 2015, produced by the Sci-Fi Channel starring Steve Guttenberg, gets?
Oh my God, well, okay, so there's a definite U-shaped curve on IMDb movie scores. Brand new movies tend to score very high. Very old movies tend to score very high. As they move through time, they dip and get lower before they start to get higher again. This is pretty recent, so it's going to be way higher than it deserves. I'm going to say 5.5.
It's a bit worse than that. It's a 4.7, but it still makes it better than a number of Police Academy sequels in IMDb terms.
Holy shit, Tom. Holy shit.
Well, will this be better than City Under Siege? Only time will tell, and I mean... Oh, I do still like City Under Siege.
When you say only time will tell, Tom, we have no time! Let's go!
Spiders! I saw spiders the size of men raining on hoods and spitting fire out of their mouths.
Have you been drinking again?
Stop. In other news, 90s action hero Colton West has apparently hijacked a tour bus.
Thank you very much.
We got a problem up ahead.
What the hell is that?
No fare, no ride.
Awesome!
This is gonna get bad really fast.
Webster's Dictionary defines a piece of shit as a 2015 action sci-fi movie starring Steve Guttenberg about fire-breathing spiders.
True, yeah. So you don't feel that this was a satisfying follow-up to the Police Academy franchise?
Well, put it this way, Tom. We have just set a timer running for 20 minutes to give ourselves a mere 20 minutes to talk about this film compared to the hour we normally have.
Seems about right.
I am talking at a leisurely pace because I am worried I'm going to run out of stuff to say.
Yeah. I mean, it does what it says on the tin, folks. There's lava lantulas. It takes about, like, I quite like that it took about 5 minutes for lava spiders to appear. And then it was all lava spiders for, you know, like 75 minutes.
I mean, straight out the gate, I have a problem with the movie's title, right? Lava, I get it. They breathe fire.
Yeah.
Cool. Lantula. That's not a word.
Yes.
It's not even part of the word tarantula. It should be lava rantula.
Lava rantula, yeah.
Lava rantula sounds better, makes more sense. What the fuck is a lantula?
Yeah, this is an issue I also have. They should have just called it, like, Spider Volcano.
Yeah, like, give a shit. I mean, if they're happy to, like, bosh out shit like Sharknado.
Yeah.
Spider Kano. There you go.
Done.
Done.
Well, we can make our own movie called Spider Kano.
Nah, don't wanna.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
Right, well, Tom, that's enough about what I think. What did you think?
It's dumb. It's very dumb. The issue that, like, I had with this film, there's some odd stuff in this, like passing off Gutenberg as an out of work action star.
Yeah, so just to clarify, in this Steve Gutz plays a character called Colton West, who's meant to be a kind of a down at heel, like a Sylvester Stallone type.
I think that's a bit mean to Sylvester Stallone. I'd say, like, he's more of a he's more Van Damme or even Steven Seagal.
Yeah, by that I just meant that, like, he used to make big budget action movies,
and now he's just, like, straight to DVD land.
Yeah,
and he, like, walks off of a set because he gets sprayed with liquid nitrogen, which he's, like, not happy about. And the film's going to be a bug movie; it's going to have evil bugs in it. And he's like, I don't do evil bugs; I don't like them. Michael Winslow and Hooks, they're there on set as the...
They're the special effects crew. They're the ones running the liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, instantly Hooks has more lines than she's had in all of the Police Academy films combined.
She's all right.
Yeah, she's pretty good. Michael Winslow, he kind of reins it in, then he goes a little bit, and you're kind of like, I'll let it slide. You just watch that, Winslow. Yeah. I've got my eye on you. And then he's like, I'm walking off this film set. He says, like, I wanted to do a film with integrity and respect. And he was kind of like, was that a joke? Was that, like, a meta joke about Steve Gutenberg's career? Which then led to me reading a lot of things into this film that I thought, is that a meta joke? Just because obviously Steve Gutenberg's career is not that respectful.
It's too meta. I made a note in my notebook, which is too meta, not funny. Here's the thing. As you said earlier, I'm perfectly happy to watch a bad movie that's kind of trying to be good. There's, like, you can find the humor in that. You can mine it yourselves.
Yeah.
A movie that is bad on purpose
is
not fun to watch. It isn't fun to watch because you can't mine that kind of, look at these assholes. Because everything that's in it is shit on purpose, which means that even if they maximally achieve their goal, right?
Yep.
Even if everything goes perfectly to plan, even if it goes better than to plan, the best that movie can ever be is shit.
Yeah.
Because that's the plan.
Yeah, I get you, totally. Because that thing about, like, oh, you know, like, you can find your own humor in the things that people have tried to do and it hasn't gone well. So the one thing, the thing in this that they are trying to do well, that they have to try and sell you on, is the lava spiders, okay? So how do you feel about the lava spiders and the effects? Because this is a film where everything blows up, everything catches fire, there is so much destruction, and yet nothing is destroyed at all.
It's all an illusion. Well, Tom, just to rewind that back a tiny bit, I feel like your question has two parts. So how do I feel about lava spiders?
Yeah.
How do I feel about the effects?
Yeah.
So the lava spiders themselves, what constitute the plot of this movie, there is a series of volcanic eruptions. The hills around, the Hollywood Hills, essentially turn out to have been secretly volcanoes. Nobody knew. They all erupt. Kaboom, kaboom, kabam, kablammy, kablammy, kablom. And then out of these volcanoes and various other little holes in the ground come these as big as a man, Steve Gutenberg says all the time. Although actually, as big as a large dog.
Most of them. There are some bigger ones, but yeah.
Yeah, these spiders come out and they've got a few sort of superpowers, as it were. One is that some of them can breathe fire.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are just hot to the touch, which I guess if their bellies are full of fire, that's fine. That makes sense. And then if they bite you, they lay their eggs in you, which is kind of grim. And there's a good scene with that later.
Mm-hmm.
That, sure, why not? I'm into it. I got no problem with that as a concept.
They're fine as like a dumb monster. Like, yeah, fine. Fire spiders. Everyone's afraid of like spiders.
Well, nobody loves them. I would have liked to have seen them playing a little bit more on the arachnophobia vibe, to be honest. Because they're kind of just big things.
They're just there.
Yeah, the fear of it is that they will breathe fire on you, right? There's none of that kind of creepy, ooky feeling of like a spider crawling over your arm. And like, I really love Arachnophobia.
Yes.
I absolutely love that movie. And that does spiders so well. And they're tiny in it.
Yeah.
So I would have liked to see, admittedly, you know, it's not the fact they're giant that scares me, right, in this. Obviously, you've got the fire-breathing element, but like, start with some smaller ones, maybe. Get a little bit of that feeling.
There's only one kind of like bit where they kind of like a spider goes by and then it just fucks off and they go, oh, I think we're okay. And then it comes out, and then it kind of like bursts through a wall and they go, ugh! Which doesn't kind of really make sense why the spider was doing that. But there's only like one jump scare like that. And there's only one bit where someone is hiding from a spider.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get that kind of Jurassic Park-y kind of, you know, like raptors in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot of that. Like, no one gets put in, like, a lava lantula web or something. They just kind of come out and just go, hello, bum, 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 fire. And then, like, people go, ah, I'm dead. And that's...
Yeah.
And repeat. Now...
The second part of the question.
The effects on this. I'm going to say that sometimes the spiders actually look pretty cool, and for like the budget that they're throwing around, they come out okay. Some of them.
I think that there is a 25% success rate on the effects in this movie.
There are some bits where like the spiders are so poorly animated that it looks like they're just like moving them, dragging them around the screen using a mouse or something. And this is the bit that made me laugh, because this is the thing in the film that they're trying to do well, and this is where it falls down. So for me, these are the bits I found funny, when they're just going so ham on the fucking composited like flames and fire and explosions and smoke with all these fucking spiders everywhere.
How is the CGI smoke the shittest effect in the whole film?
They don't... I think the thing is, like, in this film, nothing is actually set fire to. So all of the smoke is, like, CGI smoke, and it's you can really tell, and it doesn't kind of, like, mesh that well with the scenery. The same with all these, like, burning holes in the ground that are just, like, that's plonked on top of this. Everything is just on top of the screen.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where, so Goot steals one of those tourist buses, hop-on, hop-off buses, and it blows up. And it's like this big CGI explosion. Nothing actually blows up. And they cut back to the bus that has just blown up. And to cover up the fact that it's just fine, it's still a bus, they have just stuck on so many like bits of CGI fire and smoke to kind of just obscure your vision so you can't see through it.
Yeah.
And there's like so much of that with like buildings getting destroyed. But you could like, I can see the building behind it. It's fine. You're just... putting stickers on it.
Yeah.
And so these are the bits that like that made me chuckle, when it's kind of, you know, like the spiders are like, oh, fuck me, this is a hot what, just they're just like, put more shit on screen. We absolutely cannot blow up a single car, we cannot set a single fire, we cannot knock down a wall. Everything has to stay fine. So you get loads of the film is set in car parks.
Although I think that is just LA.
But like, you know, there's so many shots of people standing in car parks going, my God, the city's under attack. Everything's being destroyed. The city is fine behind you.
Yeah, you can just see everybody like driving to work in the background.
There's nothing going on in the background. Everything is fine. So that's the bit that kind of tickled me. Now,
it is a hot mess. It is a lava hot mess.
I think time is ticking down, we should talk about the police academy elements of this film.
Yes, okay. So, I mean, the police academy elements of this film are very clearly stitched on after the fact. They wrote the script, they waited for casting, figured out they could get Goots.
And then he's like, let's get my mates in.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do it as long as you bring in like at least two of the surviving cast members. And then they started trying to write in extra jokes. Yeah. So there's a decent-ish joke where they're driving along and one of the, they're like pointing out all the supposed destruction of the city.
Yeah.
Not that we can see any of it because it's all off camera. And they're like, oh, look, they blew up my house. Oh, look, they blew up the post office. And there's a bit where they go, oh, no, they blew up the Blue Oyster Bar. I love that place.
Yeah, that is the most on-the-nose Police Academy reference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really. They don't kind of... You'd expect it to be full of, like, plays on Police Academy shit, but, like, they do the Blue Oyster, and that was... Oh, the Blue Oyster. It was kind of funny that was in there.
Of all the things.
Something that was kind of cool, like the lady who plays Callahan.
Leslie Easterbrook, her name is.
She is in it as undisclosed person who is mates with Steve Guttenberg's wife.
Yeah.
She is not in it very much, but she has one of the cooler deaths.
Yeah, she looks pretty cool. She's certainly aged better than some of the other Police Academy cast seem to. When the shit all starts to kick off, Steve Guttenberg's wife phones up Callahan, aka Leslie Easterbrook, and just have a bit of a moan. Oh, my husband's Guttenberg. Why did I marry Guttenberg? I could have married Tackleberry. That's the kind of conversation that they have.
Yeah.
And then Callahan, aka Leslie Easterbrook, looks up and there's a big spider in a flat and the spider breathes fire on her face, burns a big hole in her face.
Good night, nurse. She's in, she's out. She did a great job.
Yeah. That was kind of a shame because I would have liked to have seen a bit more of her.
Yeah, me too. But it was a good death because there's a lot of people in this that they just get kind of burnt by... lava spiders, and it's a bit, it's okay, but it's nothing great. There's quite a cool montage in it of when they're on like the strip, like the Hollywood Boulevard, and there's all these people dressed up in like, you know, as outfits as like characters from films and stuff. And it's just a montage of all of them just getting killed by lava spiders. And there's like this guy who's just like dressed as a giant spider and he's just like facing the spider and he's like, what do I do? And he just sprays like silly string webs at it and the spider's like, none of it. Fire, good night, nurse. Done. The thing you were saying about the eggs.
The eggs.
So this is good.
This is a good death. It's like quite well handled. There's a fairly tedious subplot involving Goot's son, who gets separated, and him and his like BMX mates all end up in this kind of warehouse downtown. And it's Goot's son, it's this annoying bro called Travis, and this girl whose name I don't think they even said.
I don't know, but anyway,
she's fake Avril Lavigne.
She's the love interest for Gooch Jr. and Travis.
Yes, and she gets bitten quite early on by a spider and then starts like throwing up and getting the shakes and they all have to carry her around. She does not get any lines. She does not get much to do. But when she does get something to do, it's absolutely the best bit of the movie. She's dying of her bites, and they're like, damn it, fake Avril Lavigne, you made it through a marriage to Chad Kroger from Nickelback, you made it out of that alive, don't you die on me now. And then she dies on him, and then she's sitting there dead, and we see the super cool thing of, like, through her skin, all these tiny, tiny baby spiders crawling up through her neck, and then they all explode out of her mouth. Skater boy.
Yeah. Oh.
And then they burst into flames, and then they leap on Travis, and then he bursts into flames.
Awesome.
Yes, into that.
Yeah, so the film basically wraps up with Guttenberger, Madame Guttenberger, and son of Berger. They all get reunited, and they meet up with Winslow and Hooks.
Who save the day, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. They form a plan to, like, they meet a doctor, like, this, who explains to them, like, lava lantulas, like, oh, yeah, they're totally a thing. and everyone's kind of like, okay, cool, let's not dwell on this too much. They don't like liquid nitrogen. They're like, well, we're special effects people. We've got loads of liquid nitrogen. We've got a handy-dandy map that this professor gave us of where all the lava lantulas are. We'll go and blow them up.
We got to kill the Mama Lantula, because if you kill the Mama Lantula, all the other Lava Lantulas will just be written out of the script somehow.
Yeah, so then they're just, they're going around, they're blowing them up. Winslow suddenly decides to do all of his Winslow shit, and I'm like, I warned you, Winslow, I warned you.
Including the weakest Scottish accent ever when he tries to do the speech from the end of Braveheart.
Yeah, and like there's bits where like Hooks is being attacked by these lava spiders, like, I need help, I need help. And he's like, oh yeah, 10-4, coming to get you. And it's like, she's actually going to die, mate. Stop doing your bit. Don't do it. And then, inexplicably at the end of it, because Gutenberg is an action star, we find out that his like core role was basically he was a ripoff of the Rocketeer.
Yeah, called Red Rocket. And it's just like this sort of jetpack man with like a big red helmet.
Yeah, it looks kind of shit. Apparently the suit was made by NASA and actually works. And so you get jetpack Gutenberg fighting the giant Mama Lantula.
Yeah.
And then he throws a bomb in it.
Oh, and there's this weird weak gag where they kind of try to establish that like throughout Gutenberg's character of Colton West, in every film, his catchphrase that he works in is nice blank.
Something.
Like, nice something or other. So he'll be like, nice gun, and then, like, take their gun. Or he'll be like, nice leg, and then, like, break their leg, or something like that. And that we it's never mentioned again until this bit where he's in the jetpack suit with the Mama Lantula, and he goes, nice mouth, and then drops the liquid nitrogen into its mouth. It doesn't feel triumphant.
It doesn't feel triumphant, but then that's it. They win, they save the day. We finish with like Winslow and Hooks just riffing on the idea of there being a sequel.
Yeah, and this is clearly improv. And now you know I love Hooks. Mm. Her improv chops do not seem to be quite as strong as Winslow's, because they're obviously improving away. And Winslow's like, hey, if we get lucky, maybe they'll do a sequel. And Hooks kind of just looks a bit like...
Bit lost.
You can see the wheels turning in her head, and she goes, what, like Red Rocket 2?
Yeah.
And then Winslow really tries to pick up the ball and go running with it. And it was, oh, you could do Son of Red Rocket, Bride of Red Rocket.
Yeah. And Hooks is still kind of like, this wasn't written down anywhere. and it's a sad ending on a sad film. I would not watch it again. But I would say if you want to watch it, just be drunker than we are, because we are stone cold sober.
Stone cold sober in the middle of surely one of the hottest days of the year. We are sweating like a couple of Lava Lantulas.
Yes, indeedy. And we have nothing else to do now but to go and watch the trailer for Two Lava, Two Lantula.
Oh my God. Now I understand this is a riff on something to do with the Fast and the Furious. Is it
Fast
Tom?
Too Fast, Too Furious. I don't know.
Still, no one's told them that Lantula isn't a word.
No, it's not a word. Maybe if they do another film, it'll be Lava Lantula 3 Tokyo Drift. I don't know. Fuck it.
So what do you want to... Before, we haven't watched the trailer yet. We're about to watch it. Tom, what do you want to see? More of, less of?
That is a tough question, Todd.
I certainly am primarily concerned with the running time. I just want a lower number of minutes on that running time.
I think it's 80 minutes. It's
80.
Yeah, I think it's doable. It's doable. I don't know if I want the effects to get better or worse. If anything, maybe I want the quality to get worse so that I can find it funnier that they're, you know?
Yeah, I know people bang on about how much they love practical effects over CGI. That's a very popular opinion to have, isn't it? The practical effects are better than CGI. Personally, sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. Like, I'm not a passionate practical effects guy. I like them when they work. Mm. I like them in, you know, stuff like The Howling. That's great practical effects. But I'm not just a standard generic hater of CGI. I do feel like it could be better, for sure, in these.
Yeah, I mean, I think with this, like, it's just a case that it's cheap CGI, and that's where it falls down. But it would be cheap CGI versus cheap practical effects on this. Like, what can you do? It's not, like, a big summer blockbuster with all the bells and whistles. They can't do it all. So it's funny that they just don't actually blow a fucking thing up.
I wonder if they're going to raise the stakes somehow, you know, to make this next one feel a bit bigger.
Oh, like it's going to be like the fate of the world. Just LA.
I'd quite like to see it taken out of LA, I guess. Like, taken on the road. Like World War Lava Lantula.
World War Lantula.
World War Lantula.
Lantula's not a word, people.
And we're out of time. That's it. That's our 20 minutes, guys.
Fuck, okay.
How do I turn that off? Shut up.
There we go.
Okay,
right.
I turned it off.
No time to waste, folks. We better go and watch the trailer for Two Lava, Two Lantula. We'll be back in a sec.
When we wear my muzzle. Right, so we're back. We just watched the trailer, and they're still in LA, and it's still the spiders, and there's all the same bullshit, except it looks like it might be slightly funnier.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just the way that the trailer was cut, so it just looked like super dumb, but there's more gags in it, I think.
There's a lot of text on the screen where they've just randomly capitalized certain words.
Yeah.
They're like, the only thing that can save us, but they've capitalized the T of thing and the S of save, but no other letters. That doesn't make any sense. And then they're like, the only thing that can save us, the only thing that can save us is these two. And then it's Goots and Winslow. But I'm like, well, what about Hooks? Because she was in the last one and is in this one.
She's on the fucking cover of the DVD box, you know, like, what?
Yeah, and then you've got Goots running around dressed like a policeman. Hello. Police Academy. You've got random cutaways to, like, to dudes just going, oh, snap!
No idea who they are, just people just exclaiming things. I think it looked like there was a bit where Gutenberg might be sat on top of a bomb that's about to be dropped out of a plane. He's got a cowboy hat. Like,
yeah, like in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
That looks quite good. And then there's a fairly funny line where Goots goes, that's not a Mama Lantula, that's a freaking Gargantulantula.
And then some other guy is like, a Lantulantula? No, a Gargantulantula. But a Valantulantula? And it's just them trying to spell.
They run the gag into the ground.
Yeah, but it was kind of funny. It looks like we're getting a lot more Winslow.
Yes, tons more Winslow. No, I was hoping there might be just some other little Police Academy cameo that we didn't know about yet. Couldn't spot one. Maybe they're saving that for as a surprise for the movie. But that's about it. Different director, 1 minute longer runtime. Boo-hoo. I'm very sad about that. Tom, shall we play the IMDb guessing game?
You're damn right, motherfucker. So, Lava Lantula from 2015, that scored a mean 4.7.
Okay.
So, Two Lava, Two Lantula from 2016. It's Police Academy pacing.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you reckon?
4.2.
4.4.
Oh, snap!
It's a Gargantulantula. We're going to go and watch the film.
Bye!
I was on my way to the...
Right.
And all of a sudden... And then what?
That's not part of the show.
Mama Lantula!
To the boat!
No, not again.
It's so hot out here.
Just one more time.
I can fry an egg on my face.
There's spiders all over the building with flames coming out of their mouth. Flames coming out of their mouth!
Fine.
What the hell was that?
He's so bad at this!
Holy
shit. That's no Mama Lantula. That's a freaking Gargantulantula.
Mama Lantula.
What?
Mama Lantula.
No. Gargantulantula.
Gargantulantula?
No, with a G-A-R.
The term piece of shit is thrown around a lot these days. But sometimes a film comes along that truly epitomizes what a piece of shit can be.
Yeah, I think this one is a real game changer. It's really pushing the boundaries on just how bad something bad really is.
Yeah, and just the scale of what constitutes a piece. You know, the shit may not necessarily be shittier, but the piece...
Oh, this is a piece. This is a constructed piece of shit.
It's a virtual continent of it, Tom.
Yeah, it's been quite interesting watching these films with you because you're usually very optimistic. And this double whammy of Lava Lantula has really... I feel like it's chipped away at your soul slightly.
Well, Tom, I am here to tell you that Two Lava, Two Lantula did not entertain me. It irked me.
For me, it irked me. It did not entertain me as well. But I think for me, it baffled me. Thoroughly baffling film.
All right, Tom. Well, we have now somewhat less than 20 minutes. Do you want to talk us through what the hell goes on in this thing?
Goots is back. He's in Miami. Eh?
Hey, Wimmy Wham Wham with the Wizzlewolves.
Yeah, he's in Florida shooting a film. Michael Winslow is now his co-star in the film. They're playing, what's it called?
Clown Cops. That's a fun little Police Academy reference. And the villain in Clown Cops is dressed like Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th.
Yep, that was weird. And so it starts with them filming this thing, and you get the shot of Winslow and Goots back in very Police Academy-esque the uniforms. And then Goots' son and wife aren't in the film.
No, but instead we get his stepdaughter that he didn't mention at all in the first film because she's off studying in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale to be specific, which is nearby where Goots is shooting.
And she's on the beach and then Lava Lanchas. Thus ensues a film.
Yeah, I like to imagine that the Goots character of Colton West suffered a serious head injury on set of Lava Lanchula 1, and this whole movie is playing out in his head while he's being wheeled away in the stretcher.
Well, I could see that being true, because you're watching this film and it's following around Goots and Winslow. Hooks is in there a little bit, but she's just kind of more of a side character in this. It's very much a double act between Goots and Winslow, and I was just I wrote down a note just being feels like in the world of this film that somewhere else are the real heroes who are trying to save the day. But the film has for some reason chosen to follow this bizarre man and his friends. Because
a man who forgot he had a stepdaughter, a man whose clothes changed from scene to scene with no reason, a man who for half of the film starts talking like this and just won't talk in his normal voice without any explanation, and he's just talking like this and keeps throwing in random movie quotes like Life Found a Way and Chaos Theory and some other movie quote.
Because
as if saying a line from a film out of context, as if that is a joke. That is not a joke.
Yeah, it's not a joke.
That is not a joke, Tom.
I agree with
that
you.
That is not...
It's not a joke.
A joke. It's not.
Well, they're really riffing hard on a lot of the material from Police Academy then. Hey-o!
Hey-o!
This film was made a year after, right?
Yeah.
And the thing that baffled me is that Steve Guttenberg seems to have completely forgotten however it was that he played the character of Colton West and is just doing this whole other thing now where in the first film he's doing a lot of this faux action star. My God, we gotta get him out of there. Oh, you picked the wrong day to mess with the wrong guy. This kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he's doing that up the fucking wazoo. He spends the majority of the film pretending he's Snake Plissken. And it's very strange because his character didn't do that in the last film, apart from the beginning of the film where he's getting chewed out by the director of Clown Cops. I was just convinced he was high.
It was so weird. And yeah, this whole thing, the director of Clown Cops is angry with Goots because Goots is playing it's like a serious action film. And the director's like, it's supposed to be a comedy. And Goots looks at him and goes, not for me, it's not. It was too funny for me. I changed it up and made it serious. And I was just thinking to myself, you know what, mate? This isn't too funny for me. This is absolutely not too funny for me.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's just Goots doing bullshit, action acting overload. And he's also, the character has turned into a massive dick. He's really mean to Michael Winslow and everyone else. He's like, shut your fucking mouth. We gotta go steal ourselves a helicopter.
He's just saying,
go get me a CGI helicopter.
To be fair, Tom, when he tells Winslow to shut his fucking mouth, he's just saying what we're all thinking.
Oh, yeah. In that moment, he becomes the audience surrogate. But the rest of the film, he's being a real D-bag. And then, so the Lava Lanchula's attack, and he's like, I've got to go and save
I gotta go and save my stepdaughter. I gotta go get her.
Well, she's running around Miami, or like, no, it's not even, it's Fort
Lauderdale.
So it's like cheap Miami. They couldn't afford to film in a proper Miami. And like, there's a bit where like, they're like, where's Colton West? Like, he stole a helicopter, and he steals a helicopter, and you can see them in the helicopter, and the pilot is like, I'm not getting any closer to the city than that, Colton. He's like, that's all right, you just drop me off here. And they drop him off, and suddenly they're nowhere near the city, and they're in the middle of the fucking bayou. Like,
oh, and they meet a character called
Alligator Dundee.
Alligator Dundee.
Who is bizarre.
Yeah, he's very odd. Like, he's not like Crocodile Dundee, despite the fact that they've given him that name. He's just like a kind of a raging Cajun kind of guy. And he just walks around with a limp and stabs things.
Yeah, and he tries to, like, perv onto Goots.
He's got, like, a PA.
His PA. Like, he's another, like, just like a weird side character they put in there. I don't understand how they got in the bayou, because they were actually on the beach. And then they, for some reason, just went completely off-road. They were like, you were in the city! And then
yeah.
They just, and like, this is a bit where, like, they go in, like, killing, like, basically, like, the lava lanchulas attack, and Goots is kind of like, oh my god, we've got to go and totally kill some lava lanchulas, Michael Winslow. They've got these special guns, lava lanchula killing guns.
Oh, these are quite cool. They shoot liquid nitrogen and they freeze the spiders on contact.
Yeah. So they go in still dressed as policemen from the movie they're on. Then they go into this block of flats to try and save people in a block of flats. Steve Guttenberg goes into a flat and finds, he's like looking for like the whoever's in there, and he goes into a bathroom and it's covered in blood, and there's like these two gangsters, one with a chainsaw, one with a gun, who are like, who've got this guy trussed up like they're gonna like fucking murder him. And then
I haven't seen it for years, but I think this might be a Scarface parody.
I don't, yeah, potentially, that sounds about right. And then like the lava lanchulas, they're gonna kill Goots because he's dressed like a pig, man, I'm gonna cut you real bad. And then like they die, and then Winslow and Goots get to save this guy who was about to be killed by the gangsters. And they go, hey, what's your name? He's like, my name's Dave. You better run, Dave. Dave runs off shot, and then they go run down the stairs, and they just find Dave dead on the floor being eaten by lava lanchers. They're like, oh, Dave!
No, not Dave.
That was actually one of the funnier bits, and I actually found that kind of funny. And then they lose their clothes. They go and get dressed up like they're in Miami Vice. The next shot, they're in different clothes in the middle of the bayou. None of this is making sense. And everyone is playing this, either playing it or they were drunk as fuck.
Yeah. And then after that, they're in different clothes. They pull up in the car for no reason, for literally no reason. Michael Winslow goes, I hate this shirt. I hate my shirt. And he just pulls his shirt off. And then in the next shot, he's wearing a completely new, totally different shirt.
Yeah. While this is going on, Goot's stepdaughter is trying to escape with one of her mates from like all the lava lanchers. The mate gets bit. We know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They get away with these two guys who are like two mechanics who've made their own lava lanchula killing guns.
Yeah, because they're called TJ and Brick. I like to think that Brick might be a reference to the character House from the Police Academy series, because he's a bit of a big lad, you know. Brick,
and he,
House, Brick, yeah, House.
And he's the guy who in the trailer goes, oh, snap!
Which was a genuine highlight of the movie.
Yeah.
But TJ had some relatives that were killed in the first lava lanchula attack, and since then have been obsessed with it. So he's built himself this big truck that shoots liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
And they go on a mission to go to the medical school, the university, so they can get more liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
And when they get there, there's this whole scene where they hang out in the freezers and it makes their body temperature drop, which apparently means that the lava lanchulas can't see them. And then we get this extended, completely unnecessary Jurassic Park-like reference where they do, you know, that bit in Jurassic Park where the kids are in the kitchen and the raptors are chasing them. They do that exact scene, basically shot for shot. And then when they eventually leave, it goes on for ages. It's like seriously a 10-minute scene. And then when they leave the medical school, this big, like, black and red, like, Jurassic Park banner falls down and says,
like, at the end of the first film.
Yeah, and it says, like, oh, welcome to Miami Medical University, home of the raptors. That's their, like, football mascot.
It's just so weird because it's like, okay, fine, you've made a Jurassic Park reference, but why?
Yeah, references aren't funny.
Why not reference, like, Police Academy?
Well, for a start, but, like, the other thing, this really ticks me off, and, like, I've met people in life that just do this all the time. Just referring to a thing that is another thing is not a joke. That's not a joke. Oh, we're doing this thing because that's what they did in that famous film.
But for no reason. There's no.
So you can't just go around and say lines from films with your mates and laugh about that and expect us to laugh with you.
Yeah, like I think like Gooch several times I think does like the Han Solo, never tell me the odds. Like I'm sure there's like loads of other. Well, you got the Doctor Strangelove bit that they put
So let's talk about this because this is the climax of the film and we're running out of time a little bit. So they find the big Mama Lantula, which this time is even bigger. It's the Gargantua Lava Lantula.
Yeah, the lava lanterns in this are even meaner. They can like shoot spikes at people now for some reason.
Oh, and this bit's quite good actually because there's a really cool bit when they're just sort of running around and the lava lanterns shoot spikes and there's this girl sat on a bench eating some Pringles and this spike like flies into the back of her head and knocks her eye out.
That's good. There's also another good bit of eye gore with the friend who gets bitten by the spiders, that when the spiders start to all kind of like come bubbling out of her, Brick goes, oh, snap! And she kind of like covers her mouth up because like they were start to come out of the wound on her shoulder. And Todd's like, why are they not come out of her mouth? That's where they came out in the last film. And she covers her mouth. And because she's covered her mouth, they come out of her eyes.
Yes.
And then she bursts into very unconvincing CGI flames.
Well, it would have been a better scene if the spiders coming out of her eyes was not just so unconvincing. But I like what they were going for.
Yeah, the CGI in this one is even worse, if you can believe, than the first one. Like, it's...
Yeah. I mean, if you've played the old PS1 game Metal Gear Solid, the cutscenes in that are about the level of CGI that we're talking about here.
Isn't so good.
But we digress. Mm. The crux of the film, they find the Gargantua Lantula. It's under the big stadium. There's this army dude who wants to just nuke the whole city of Miami. And Goots inexplicably, well, I suppose a normal person would be like, please don't nuke the city.
Yeah, don't do that.
This doesn't normally play to like Goots' character in this. You would just think he wouldn't give a shit. He'd just like go like, dead or alive, you're coming with me. You know, from the Terminator.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, and he doesn't want the army guy to nuke the city, so he's trying to do this thing where he drops flame retardant onto the Gargantua Lantula to weaken it enough so that they can just kill it with missiles instead of nukes.
Yes.
Because the missiles can't touch it because it's too hot. And then they end up, there's a problem with the plane, and he ends up having to climb onto the bomb with a cowboy hat, do the end of Doctor Strangelove, and drop the flame retardant manually onto the spider, which weakens it enough that they can hit it with the missile.
And then they kill the spider. But the important thing is that I point out that Dead or Alive, You're Coming With Me is from RoboCop.
Oh, fucking whatever. Jogo, did you not just hear me tell you that I do not give a fuck where your movie quotes come from?
Okay, Tom. Yes, that's
that
true.
That rule goes for Goots, and that rule goes for you just the same.
That's fine.
Do not be thinking that you are better than Goots. You are no better than him.
I'm not saying that. I'm just pointing this out just for like the one person who might be listening who is going fucking livid. Livid at you, Todd Jordan,
for
mixing up your 80s robots.
I'm so sorry, everybody.
I'm sorry, Todd. I shouldn't have brought it up.
It's been a long day. We've watched three hours of this shit.
But you know what the capper was? The capper.
What was the
on
capper?
On this film, this car crash of a Gutenberger passion project.
Actually,
there's no passion in this. It's when the fucking credits roll. The bit you've been waiting for all movie long. And my God, it has the worst credits music I have ever heard in my goddamn fucking life. Everything's out of tune. It's not been mixed. It sounds like, you know, like they're like, fuck, we've got no money for the end credits music. Can anyone knock something together? And someone's like, well, my 13-year-old son and his mates have been fucking around in GarageBand. We could put that on. And, oh, it's a stinker.
It's baffling.
This whole film was baffling. I mean, either everyone was drunk or there was like a very severe gas leak going on wherever it was that they were filming this.
It just kind of slowed everybody down a little bit.
Oh, God.
Like maybe
damn.
Whoever was doing the catering was just like putting just a non-lethal dose, but just a slight amount of arsenic in all of the food.
Yeah, very, very strange. Winslow's shit in this is not as prevalent as it is in the first one. Like, it's there. He goes bibbidi-boop, he does all this shit. The man cannot do impressions.
The man cannot do impressions.
No, so there's a bit when they're in the plane and they're going to drop the whatever, the MacGuffin on the MacGuffin spider and kill the MacGuffins. And, like, he's there going like, oh, we're giving it all she's got, Captain. Like, doing like a Star Trek bit, yeah? You happy with that, Todd? You happy with that reference? Happy with that reference? Happy with that?
Tom, I've never been happy.
Okay, fair enough. And it was just kind of like, oh, it's weak, man. It's weak. He can do impressions, but his impressions are of, like, radios that haven't been tuned properly.
Yeah, like, it is weak sauce. Winslow's weak sauce. Gutenberg is very weak sauce.
Gutenberg is bizarre in this. So strange.
Hooks is hardly in it, and when she is, she does seem a bit confused.
Yeah, it's a bit sad. I feel like there might have been some hard living going on between, like, Police Academy and these, and she seems a little bit kind of bit spaced out.
But you'd expect some other sick cameo, right? Some other really great, solid, super recognisable, like, totally satisfying cameo, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah. Get?
Well, we get one. It's two of the people that played some of the aliens from Cocoon, which also had Steve Guttenberg in it and was also set in Florida. But they pop up and, like, they're not famous people, but they pop up and they say, the lady one says, yes, Florida, where aliens would definitely come if they came to Earth. And then the man that's also from Cocoon goes, shh, no, don't talk about the aliens. And it's never referenced again. And I had to look it up on IMDb to work out what the fuck that was all about and go, oh, yeah, they're from Cocoon. And that also had Guttenberg in it.
The target audience on this fucking film is so niche as shit. Like, you know, if you're expecting, like, the people who are going to get everything about this film is very small.
I mean, I'm just praying that there was a Three Men and a Baby reference in there somewhere that we missed.
Oh,
because
I wish.
If you're going to go in hard on a fucking Cocoon cameo.
Yeah, like, I wish they could have been like, let's put on some banging tunes to go and fight the spiders. And they put on a cassette and it's Rubber Ducky from Sesame Street, which is the thing that happens in...
Okay.
That's the only bit I can really remember from Three Men and
There's
a Baby.
A thing, isn't there a thing about them singing Goodnight, Sweetheart? Well, it's
yeah, they could have done that. Yeah.
Goodnight, Sweetheart. Yeah, they could have done that. That would have been very satisfying.
Maybe halfway through, Gutenberg, like, actually just has to go and stop his wife from getting married to a snooty British guy who's going to send the kids off to boarding school.
Yeah, or at least have, like, a bit where you've got, like a Tom Selleck lookalike and a Ted Danson lookalike, and the three of them line up, or, you know,
running around with a baby. We've got to get this baby to safety.
Yeah. So many missed opportunities. Well, maybe they're saving that for Three Lava, Three Lantula.
Well, if anyone wants to hire me and Todd to write Three Lava, Three Lantula, we've got some sick Goots references that we can put in. I'm sure we can drag that out to 80 minutes. We'll just throw some fucking bullshit explosions on it and we'll be jobs are good.
So, Tom, really quickly before we run out of time, which one did you prefer?
First one.
Yeah, definitely the first one. I mean, I didn't enjoy it, but...
Second one is more of a car crash. In a way, is more darkly compelling, but you kind of feel, you know, bad about yourself for looking at it, for craning your neck.
Yeah, I feel like one of those women that, like, fall in love with serial killers that are on death row and, like, have to sue the state for conjugal visits.
Yeah, it makes... No one comes out clean, do they?
No.
Yeah. So, that's the Lavalantula series. And that's our time.
That's our 20 minute. Shut up, alarm.
And okay. That...
That's the end of that.
So, we are fucking done now with Police Academy and Police Academy peripheral nonsense.
All things Gutenberg. Yeah, so we hope you've enjoyed this. Don't forget, it was a bonus episode. We are on our between season break. Thanks for listening. We will be back soon with season, what is it, seven?
Seven.
Oh my God, seven seasons. I'm so excited about season seven, Child's Play, which we will start soon. There might be another bonus episode or two in between. We'll try not to keep you waiting too long.
But in the meantime, I have nothing. Yeah, nothing. Nothing. I'm done. I'm Tom. Fucking done. I'm dead inside.
Tom, don't forget who you are, because I am Todd Jordan.
Oh, I'm Tom Denny.
We are the Bitter End Podcast.
And we say good day to you.
Good day.